Philippians chapter 3, our portion is from verse 20 of chapter 3 to the end of verse 1 of chapter 4. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that you have given your Son for us that we may be citizens of heaven, that our life is hidden with him in glory so that we may set our mind on the things above as we live in the earth below, that we may eagerly expect him and the completion of the salvation for which he has died. We pray that you'd help us now as we read and hear and preach and hear preached your word, that you would give us the help of your Spirit, that he would continue applying to us Christ and all his benefits, that you would do a portion of that work that you have assigned to this time in this study of your word, that you are bringing into completion in the day of Christ Jesus. So we ask it in his name. Amen. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 20, these are God's words. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. This ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You can read in verse 1 and perhaps could even hear in your head and heart and perhaps even my voice as I read it. It ends on a very intensely emotional note, calling them his beloved, his longed for, his beloved, and rejoicing over them, my joy and my crown. And it's an opposite emotion to what we saw last week in verse 18, where he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. And so we have the opposite this week. We have the apostle rejoicing. We have an end that is not destruction, but resurrection. And we have walking not as the enemies of the cross of Christ, but as the allies of the cross of Christ. You who know Jesus to be God who died for you, you who see how greatly he has loved you, have you not also found that the Spirit has produced in you love for him? You love him because he first loved you. And because you love him, you want to obey him and you want to serve him. You don't want to walk as an enemy of the cross of Christ. You want to walk as an ally of Christ and of his cross and his work, that for which he died. And so he gives us four things in these three verses that help us to walk not in enmity with Christ's cross, but in alliance with him, to walk after the pattern of the apostle, indeed after the pattern of Christ himself. He gives you a citizenship, he gives you a savior, he gives you a hope, and he gives you a joy. First, our citizenship is in heaven. You are to live under the rules of your home country wherever you go. This was something that my family was supposed to be able to do when we moved to Cyprus. In Cyprus, it was illegal for Cypriots to homeschool, but we weren't Cypriots. We were Americans, and particularly providentially appropriate that this is a day on which we thank God for the mercies that He gives us. And one of the agreements that was made with the organization that I was over there serving with was that we could make use of, avail ourselves of the provision in Cypriot law, that you could school your children according to the laws of your homeland. I was an American citizen, and we would follow their rules. Well, something similar here. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are to follow the rules. You are to pursue the agenda of your homeland. You are citizens. And you are citizens not, I'm afraid, of a democracy or a republic or an oligarchy or a secret communist secretly communist socialist dictatorship. You are citizens of a kingdom, a monarchy, in which the king is none, which means you're subjects. But if you're subject of the beautiful king of whom we saw in Isaiah 33 this morning and sang of getting to see the king in his beauty, your citizenship, your being his subjects, ought to control how you think, what do you desire, what motivates you, what you enjoy, so that you walk not as one whose God is your belly, but as one whose king is Jesus and whose God is Jesus. So you're subjects. You have in the first place a citizenship. But you also have a Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news because we need Him to be the one who works in us that salvation that we are commanded to work out. Weren't we just a chapter ago commanded to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? But we have a Savior in heaven, and He from heaven is working in us that which is to will and to work according to His good pleasure. We are not only citizens, but we have a Savior. And He is working in us, and He is returning for us, and we are eager for His return. We're eager for the work to be done. So we have a citizenship, we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a hope. What will He do when He returns? Well, He's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm afraid there would be too many, and mine would be included. I wonder how many of us have ever enjoyed something immensely, physically, perhaps even a dish. I don't know why key lime pie just came to mind. I think it's because we had is cheesecake a cake or a pie? And we all decided that it doesn't matter what cheesecake is, because all cheesecake just wants to be key lime pie. But you've enjoyed something physically, and you've thought, oh, I hope that we can have that in heaven. And we heard last week about those who live for earthly pleasures, even apart from the pleasure of the Savior, and whose God will be their belly. And how silly and foolish such thought is, when these bodies that we have now are so lowly by comparison to the ones that we're going to get then. Yes, God created the body that you have. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but both are for the Lord. So enjoy your key lime pie, and enjoy that the Lord created both it and your capacity to enjoy it, but enjoy even more the hope that you have of the resurrection. We cannot possibly anticipate even the physical pleasures of the new heavens and the new earth. We're not missing out on anything if we have to deny ourselves. And as we enjoy Christ Himself and all the pleasures that He's given us in this life, if He never allows you to be married and to have children, if He never gave you the athleticism in which to enjoy the rush of the wind on your face as you run 20 miles an hour. If you have never had all of the pleasures that physically are available to us in this life, what is that to you? You have not just a citizenship and a Savior, but a hope of a resurrection, a glorified body like His. I'm looking forward to some of those capabilities. Passing through walls, teleportation. Those are just the physics of Jesus' glorified body between His resurrection and His ascension. Truly, this is part of those secret things that the young men's larger catechism lunch study thing was thinking about, that we don't know all that it will be. And if the capabilities are beyond our imagining, certainly also are the pleasures. And so how foolish would it be to live with our bellies as our God, seeking the next form of entertainment, the next physical satisfaction of one sort or another in this life. Don't live for that. Live for Him who already has the resurrected body. And when He returns, He's going to give you a resurrected body. And it's not going to be for this earth, in which is bound to corruption and decay, and in which the whole creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God, which is the redemption of their bodies. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth that conforms to your body. In fact, he tells us that one of the reasons we need that spiritual, that Holy Spirit recreated body, not bodiless body, that doesn't make any sense, is because there is a spiritual creation in which to enjoy. And the body you have now isn't capable of enjoying the new earth. It's corruptible, and it's from the corruptible, but you're going to inherit the incorruptible, and you have to have the incorruptible body in which to inherit it. So resurrection hope, he sets before us as something that also helps us not live as those whose God is our belly and whose glory is our shame and who set our minds on earthly things. So he gives us citizenship, he gives us Savior, he gives us a joy. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. You know, you're not in the new creation yet, but you have met and are now sitting in the presence of multiple members of the new creation. When Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, and I know the English translations say, he is a new creature, but it literally actually says, new creation. The godly ones in the land and in whom he has given us to delight with the same pleasure we have in him, we just saying that in 16a in the red, we delight in one another as those in whose fellowship we are going to serve and obey and enjoy him in a new heavens and a new earth forever and ever. And the apostle here is writing as someone who was wrestling with whether or not it would be better to pass into glory and be with Jesus or remain. And he said, remaining is better for your sake. And he's eager to be poured out as a drink offering upon their living sacrifice unto God and their lives for him. You see, his great joy in this life was to be used by God in the bringing to faith and growing in grace of others. And we too are used by God in one another's lives. Is this not what we've been thinking of as we've been considering Joel 2, 28 and 29 the last couple of weeks, and our prophesying and dreams and visions, but not the lesser form of addressing one another in the Word of God, but the final form, these last days spoken by his Son and by Jesus using us in one another's lives. Something that we considered not too long ago in the afternoon messages in Ephesians chapter 4. This joy that he has in considering them his crown, you cannot take earthly things with you to glory, but you could take your brothers and sisters in Christ. We will go there together. And a great part of the joy, a great part of the crown that we will have on that day is looking around and marveling that God used us in one another's lives. Now that has serious implications for how we relate to one another. And There's a reason that it's at this point he goes on to address Euodia and Syntyche, and we'll consider verse 2 and following next week. But we should at least make part of the application now. If we are to have more pleasure in one another as heavenly things from a new creation than we do in the most enjoyable of earthly things, what does this say about how we should treasure one another? Not just in enjoying being together, which I know we enjoy very much being together, but how this should incline our hearts towards one another and spur us on to putting to death evil suspicions of one another, or bitterness, hostility of spirit, unforgiveness, any spirit of rivalry, trying to be seen as better than one another or prefer one another. The mind of Christ Jesus that he set his love upon us and he treasured us and he came to give himself for us that we were commanded to have in us at the beginning of chapter 2 is coming back now as we talk about having the priorities of heaven driving how we think and act. And I know that your house is probably not different than my house. That this counting one another as a joy and crown because of the participation that Jesus has given us in his work in one another's lives. Well, you know what? Kids, mom and dad and your brothers and sisters are the ones in whose lives you participate in more of Jesus' work than anyone else's. You're with them most of the day, every day, all week long. And the Lord who has given himself for them and for you is using you in their life and using them in your life. And part of what will help you to live well together and stir one another up towards him day by day in your homes is looking around the table, looking around the living room every once in a while and thinking, these are my joy and crown. These are my joy and crown. Do you do that in the congregation on the Lord's Day? Do that in the congregation that is in your home day by day throughout the week. And use that to fight against this living in competition with one another, being easily angered with one another, indulging bitterness or allowing conflict or friction to grow in your hearts together. Anyway, more on that especially next week in verses 2 and 3. But that is part of what helps us to stand fast in the Lord, that we have not only that citizenship, that Savior, that hope, but also this joy. Jesus we will delight in forever and ever, and we have a joy in one another as being joined to Jesus and having a part in his work in one another's lives. Let's pray. Lord, grant to us, we pray, not to walk as those whose end is destruction and in enmity to the cross, but make us to walk as those whose end is to have that work that you have begun completed in the day of Christ Jesus, and who are therefore not at enmity with the cross, but living by faith in Christ and him crucified, that we would be crucified with him, and that it would no longer be we who live, but he who lives in us. Grant to us to live in light of our citizenship, to live by faith in our Savior and eagerness for the completion of that salvation, to live in the hope of the resurrection, as those for whom unimaginable joys, even physically, are planned. Make us to live by the joy of the Lord Jesus, delighting in him, and therefore delighting in those who are his, and in the part that he has given us in one another's lives. We ask that your Spirit would conform us to the part of the mind of Christ that we have opened even in these three verses. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.